I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue-a-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there called go.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Welcome to Danny and Dusty. We are Dustyless because he is he's on a plane. Will Ortner in for Dusty. Fine.
What's up?
Hey.
How's it going?
Jeff Russ behind the glass, as always.
Holla at your boy.
Ducks play a Friday. Quick programming note.
They do.
We will be on air here tomorrow, at least I will, for an hour before we hand you off to Ducks game day because they will be taking on Purdue. As I said, Dusty currently en route to where the Ducks will be staying in
West Lafayette?
West Lafayette.
The Spoiler Makers is what they're called.
Yeah, they're staying in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
So
how far of a drive is that?
With the police escort? Like 20 minutes.
Oh, that's not bad. Yeah. I didn't realize that Purdue was like in a suburb Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, if you think about most colleges are in like some version of suburb. Sure. Like there's not that many USC UWs.
68 miles between the two.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Central Washington was in a suburb of the great city of Yakima, so that makes sense.
Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'd call that a suburb 68 miles out, but
well,
that's a good haul.
Would you call, like, what's that? Like Ridgefield? So Ridgefield to Portland, yeah, is that a suburb?
I don't think so.
No, that's greater Vancouver.
Do you call Newburgh a suburb?
No, I think that's honestly the
bug. Is it far enough away?
Sherwood's probably the furthest you would call a suburb.
Probably, yeah, I think that sounds fair.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's like the end of the west side is probably North Plains down to Sherwood.
Is there like a definition of like once you exit this distance, you can no longer be a suburb?
I don't know. That's actually a good question.
I'm Googling it right now.
I think it's a general understanding of what feels correct.
Right, but my definition of a suburb might be a little bit different than yours.
I think basically once you go from like, if you're in a genuinely like bigger city,
mm-hmm.
like once you hit farmland, once you become rural, you are no longer suburb.
Is this one of those things like once you see it, you know it?
Yeah.
It's like born. Yeah, I was going to say it's like the Supreme Court ruling on.
Well, like we've got farmland like a half mile from our house and we're definitely still a suburb.
But I think you were like quite literally on the edge of it. As I was saying,
we are close to the urban growth boundary,
Like North Plains slash like, you mm-hmm. know, the county lines are usually like good. Like
I think I would still call like North Plains a suburb.
And say, according
to, you're starting to get pretty close to the dividing line there.
Right? No, that's what I mean. Like, I think the Supreme Court ruling is where we need to go with this. Like, you know it when you see
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
I was going to say, because, like, when you go to Wikipedia, it doesn't have a true, like, definition. It's just within an area of a metropolitan area. It's like, it's an area around the metropolitan area, and it's predominantly residential, and you can commute to a large city.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they're up. Volume on the computer. There we go.
Sprague
caught me off guard.
Right?
I don't think mine over there has speakers. If it does,
it does.
It doesn't. All right.
Well, I plugged in a speaker, so there's a speaker that's plugged in. I don't know if yours has speakers.
Oh, okay.
But there's a speaker that's plugged in underneath.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, the one underneath. Yeah, that one gets unplugged all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
endlessly.
Yes.
Also,
your station monitor speaker.
Yeah. I think. Both Dirt and I are okay with that, and probably Sook too, just because, I think particularly Dirt and I, because the show In Between Hours,
mm-hmm.
there's a character on that show that can get rather loud.
There's perhaps a certain amount of insufferability.
That you're just kind of like, I'm good. I'm good without having that like boosted into my ear holes.
My favorite was the Jeremiah Smith take. That was an offensive PI. Yeah. It's like he shoved him. Yeah. That was perfect block teach tape.
Hey, well, he's damn right. We will talk a little bit of Ducks Purdue I don't think there's exactly a ton to dive into there other than don't fall asleep at the wheel, which, you know,
yeah.
it's been a situation in college football this year. So we'll dive into that.
We're looking at what, like a 28.5 point spread or something?
Last time I looked, 27.5.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, they're probably going to win by that much.
DraftKings has it at 29.
Ooh. I am not touching lines that big.
I was going to say Oregon actually has been really bad against the spread this year. They've only won two games.
But yeah. Purdue is terrible.
They are, as the great Anthony Newman says, Purdue-do.
Yes. Oh, God, that's great. Purdue-do.
They're not very good. Have you watched a Purdue game?
Yeah.
Not to get super sportsy now.
I watched the Oregon State one.
Yeah. I watched the Oregon State one, too, and there were so many times where I was like, they have 10 men on the field. What is happening?
Well, and Oregon State housed them, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah, they beat them pretty good. No, that's full-strength Oregon State. Oregon State recently has had a lot of injuries.
But, I mean, again.
It's bad when you're watching a game and you're like, they have 10 guys on the field. Oh, no, their safety's at 25 yards deep. Yeah, I wonder what coverage they're in.
They're doo-doo.
Yeah.
Is that Anthony?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. The man likes to say doo-doo.
They're doo-doo also.
A lot of doo-doo.
That's such a great drop.
There's just certain things when you work in media where there's a word that you want to use, and you can't use it.
Mm-hmm.
And you will find something else, and you will stick to that. It will become a thing that you're like, that's my go-to word. That's my euphemism for, and you'll find just interesting ones. And like every now and then you'll find a good one like that. Like instead of being able to say one word, you go doo-doo.
Doo-doo.
Because he's got so much bass in his voice.
He does.
Yeah. That it's
got a good bird.
Oh, wrong button.
They're doo-doo.
Honestly, adding the drums behind it.
Yeah,
the start
of the Olympic theme.
Kind
of,
yeah. That was fantastic.
They're doo-doo also.
Poor Anthony. He's going to like go to practice tonight at West Lynn, and there are going to be people like, dude, you say doo-doo a lot.
Hit him endlessly with, you know, every bad route. You're doo-doo. I want to see the film sessions. Just have him be like, you're doo-doo.
You think he says that to the guys he's coaching?
I hope so.
Just like, hey,
this is doo-doo.
That coverage right there was doo-doo. What kind of pass rush there?
Yeah. Hand placement, doo-doo.
Right now, your footwork, it's doo-doo. We got to fix this.
Right here.
Stinky.
Yes. You're stepping in doo-doo. That's one of those kind of deals.
At Central, we had a defensive coordinator who, at the beginning of the year, he would buy 4 or 5 clickers so that when he was going through huddle, he could break them at different points because he knew that he would.
Yeah.
And my favorite was at the beginning of the year, every year he went full, like, you got to start hard and then like work back and be softer on guys.
Just rear every back and year, fire that thing across the room
in the, after the first practice, which mind you, non-padded, non-contact,
he would try to bring the juice.
He would find someone. And if they did the wrong call or the wrong footwork, he would yell at them to see what they would do. And the best one ever was we had this All-American middle linebacker, and we had another all-conference Will linebacker. And the Will linebacker got a couple of the calls confused, and he's like, hey, man, can we, like, change him a little bit so I don't get confused? And the coach, instead of being like, yeah, maybe we look at that, or no, we're not going to look at it, you need to be smarter, he just looked at him and was like, you've made this meeting horrible for everyone. The defensive lineman didn't go to the wrong gap. He did what he was supposed to do. He didn't jump off sides. He stepped with his left foot first instead of his right foot. Mm-hmm. And the coach screamed at him, took his clicker, spiked it off the wall in a classroom because we didn't have designated meeting rooms.
There you go.
This was a normal classroom.
Chunk out of the wall.
Exploded everywhere.
Chunks flying. What the hell is going on?
Yes. I think he used more colorful language than that. He was a big C-bomb guy, not afraid to throw those around.
Oh.
And then he kicked everyone out. And I got to hear about it from all the other freshmen in my apartment.
Nice.
They all came over to my house after because I had a couple buddies, and they were like, dude, this is what college football's like?
That's just normal. That's week one.
It was like, yeah, actually, he's one of the best defensive coordinators in the country. He's now at an FBS school. I will not name that school.
There you go.
Nor will I name that coach.
There you go.
But
protected anonymity. We like it here.
It was epic. He was also like, his big line, if you messed up on something, he'd just walk over to you and be like,
school is going to be a lot more expensive next year.
And then he'd walk away.
Damn.
It was awesome.
That's nasty work.
It was great. And then the best part was we used to do this like little kids camp. And so he's got like eight kids. He has 1,000 children. And his oldest kid is like 6. And his kid is playing catch with our quarterback and he keeps dropping the ball. And he turns and he looks at the other coaches. He goes, "Oh, school's going to be expensive for my son." His kid is 6.
I mean, you do what you got to do.
Which is like what I think some of the early seasons of Modern Family, too, Phil and Claire lamenting about how they probably won't have to worry about paying for college for Luke.
Yeah, they're like, this will be fine. Yeah.
I don't think he's making it.
Trade school.
On today's show, though, we will dive into some Thursday Night Football, but that's an absolute stinker. 2 o'clock, we'll get our picks in. Sabrina, I ask you, called game last night.
It was awesome.
WNBA action. For those of you that get mad about it, I don't care. Basketball, we'll talk about some basketball. But Portland Trailblazers just played last night. You saw Scoot Henderson turn a little bit of a corner to Monte Kamara. Should he be starting? Do a little Donovan Klingon stock watch update. I think something we'll kind of track this season is the old Klingkongs. Growth throughout the season. He's not going to have be the big shiny toy that Scoot Henderson was in the draft last year because it was such an electric draft class. But we'll talk about that a little bit, and then we'll dive all over the sports calendar or the sports weekend. That is, we'll hit some more college football, dive some NFL. But I think the NFL is where we got to start because we have a healthy quarterback on a winning team that it's getting the hook in Pittsburgh. The Pittsburgh Steelers have decided to make a change, and, Justin Fields isn't too happy about it. We'll dive into that here to start off today's show here on Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Doesn't matter what year it is post Ben Roethlisberger, the Pittsburgh Steelers still have not figured out their quarterback situation, despite starting the season 4-2. Justin Fields, who has led the Steelers that 4-2 record, addressed the media following practice, and it very much sounds like he's afraid that he's going to lose his job. Justin Fields did not sound very confident when he was asked what his position might be coming in this weekend.
I mean, I don't think I've played, you know, good enough, if I'm being real with you. You know, if I'm being real with myself, I think if, you know, I did play well enough, I don't think there would be, you know, any sort of who should be playing, who should not. So at the end of the day, you know, we got a few wins. Of course, I'm glad about that. But, you know, there's areas that, you know, I could be better at. And, you know, I'm just going to, you know, continue to work on those and continue to get better.
Justin Fields has been fine if you're talking about replacement level quarterback.
Yeah, I feel like that's fair, but also that's about what Pittsburgh kind of wants out of their quarterback.
I'm just kind of going through the NFL leaderboards here, and there he is, sandwiched in between Sam Darnold and Bo Nix is Justin Fields. in total yards. But what he's not been able to generate is big plays in the air. He's had a couple bigger breaking runs, which is kind of what he has done. But he is not and has not been, outside with the exception of one game, been capable of pushing anything down the field. And the Steelers aren't going to be a team that's going to punch you in the mouth with offensive power. They're going to beat you with defense, protecting the ball, running the clock, grinding you out the way the Steelers have always been successful. But their margin for error is razor thin because their quarterback play has been so subpar. Outside of the one performance where he had over 300 yards passing, Fields has struggled to break 150 yards. And even with the NFL being in a place where, oh, scoring's down, it's you're looking at quarterback play in the NFL right now probably at an all-time high from top to bottom. And the Steelers just really can't, if they hope to compete, they have to at least take a look at Russell Wilson, because as crazy as it sounds, he affords them the best possible chance to have a more dynamic offense.
I think maybe through the air, you're not too far off there. I'll be interested to see. This is a very young Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line. And so at times when they've had issues, Fields has been able to just tuck the ball and run, because there are very few that can run the ball from the quarterback position the way that he can. He can be physical if he needs to, but he's also fast and pretty slippery. Russell Wilson has made it very clear ever since he left Seattle, and even his last couple of years, he doesn't want to move.
Right? I don't even think it's an option.
And ever since he had the finger injury, he lost a lot of the touch, especially on his deep ball that he used to have that made him so great when he was in Seattle. So I'm interested to see how long, if it is Russell Wilson who starts, how long that experiment is. Because at this point, if you're a Steelers fan, you're not going to win games because of your quarterback. Right now, what Tomlin is asking for is a quarterback that can manage the game and not turn the ball over. And I can't believe I'm saying this. Justin Fields has done that well. When he was in Chicago, he had a bunch of issues turning the football over. Now, is he winning games because of his arm? No, he's not even really winning games because of his legs.
In fact, he's put him in some negative positions because he does have four fumbles last
season.
Right,
like that's why you lost to the Colts. Now, with Russ, do you lose some of those fumble issues? I would think so, but you also might add in, you know, it might be a wash when you add in interception issues because you can't throw the ball the same way. Also at wide receiver, Pickens is athletic, but how many times have you seen him quit on routes? If he's not the main target on a route, that dude stops running. So there are a bunch of issues offensively. It's not just at the quarterback position, and I wouldn't be shocked if in 2 or 3 weeks, Justin Fields, if he's not starting right now, he comes back in and is the starter just because he can move a little bit and run.
Which is mildly problematic because, the old adage of if you have two quarterbacks, you have none.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And they don't really have one.
Vancouver 4 text line, they might as well give Wilson a shot. He's free this year. Make the decision for the future. And that's exactly what they're doing. They got two quarterbacks. This is the dad has bought his son a nice first car. And the first car, he wrecked it. And now it's like, no, we're not getting you a new car. No, the insurance is not going to pay this. We're going to go find you a beater out of the paper, and, you know, we'll see if that works for you. And if that one doesn't work, we'll get you another one. Well, but we're not spending, you know, $15,000 on a new car anymore. You're going to get something that's used and needs a little bit of work. And I mean, that's what the Steelers have done. I mean, they've tried to draft quarterbacks and failed miserably because they just have a penchant for drafting big white dudes.
Well, it worked with Big Ben. So they're going to keep going back to John Elway was the same way. That guy drafted Brock Osweiler just because he was 6'8".
Yeah, he just kept going down. And then you look at the other Paxton Lynch.
Oh my God, that guy was horrible.
Yeah, they just kept going. Like, he big. Must
He's
get
big, the,
yeah.
big arm. Yeah, must, that's must what I past. Was.
And it's like, you know, it's the idea of Justin Fields, I understand why people were so enamored with him. I've never, ever, ever been a fan because of his wild inconsistencies with his accuracy, his not only inability but the lack of willingness to throw the ball across the middle. The way the Steelers are run, it is genuinely interesting because there's organizations and teams have identities, but they do change over time. Like, you go look at the last great dynasty, the best dynasty in the NFL, the Patriots.
Right.
You can say, well, yeah, they were built on Belichick's defense, and they were built on the running game, and they were built on Tom Brady and all this. But the different versions that they had throughout the years, more explosive offensively, more conservative offensively, more run-focused, more short passing game, more explosive plays. Like, they had different versions of what they could be. The Steelers have one version of themselves, and it's really always been the same, which is the Steel Curtain. Right. You had two quarterbacks in between who surpassed the mediocre line in Bradshaw and Roethlisberger, and then in the meantime, you had the Neil O'Donnells of the world. You had the Tommies of the world, and you, but their identity and their organization has always been the same. And I don't think, unless they had a legitimate Mahomesian level, Josh, you know what? Honestly, Josh Allen might actually be what, like, the ideal.
Yeah, but I also think that a guy like Josh Allen is the ideal quarterback for a lot of organizations.
But you understand what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't have to throw it 40 times a game, he would fit into the big, strong, powerful arm.
He turns the ball over a lot, though, too. When good Josh Allen is there, there's few who are better. Mm-hmm. In fact, there might only be one. But when bad Josh Allen is there, that's where a lot of turnovers happen, and it's been very clear that the Steelers don't want that at the quarterback position. They don't want a quarterback that's willing to turn the ball over. I mean, even when they were at their most explosive, so basically everything at the tail end of Roethlisberger's career, except for the last two, where you have Antonio Brown, you got the old Oregon State wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster jumps into that for a little bit. I even think Deontay Johnson jumps into there a little bit. You have Le'Veon Bell. That was one of the more explosive offenses that they had. Mm-hmm. Defense wasn't quite up to par to what it's been for years and years and years. As good as they were, they didn't get anything done when it comes to winning a Super Bowl. I don't even believe that they won an AFC title going through that time. They didn't win the AFC conference.
No.
And so I think that Tomlin looks at that and he goes, look at all the headaches that I had to deal with during that. I'm going to get back to what I do.
There's
best
stability.
And it, what, like, my,
there's a bar that you can clear.
My organization does. Yeah. And think about it, though. Like, what was Bill Cowher known for as a head coach? He is known for having a great defense and an offense that isn't going to turn the ball over. You're going to be in a lot of games, and then you just have to find ways to win them. Tomlin is from the school of Cowher, you know, and this is what has worked.
Three coaches
in
for 40 years.
Right, and this is what has worked. Yeah. So why would you deviate from something? You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to do that. And the couple years that they did, they didn't finish any better necessarily than what they've done now.
No.
Like, are they a Super Bowl team? No, they're not. But they're going to be just good enough to where you're in the playoff hunt every year.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to get a good draft pick. And right now, free agent quarterbacks don't want to go there because they don't want to play for an OC. In last couple of years was Canada. Now it's back to Smith. They don't want to play for those guys because those guys are going to run the ball 30 to 40 times a game.
And they're not going to get guys paid. The only way I see Pittsburgh finding their way out of this in the long term, because I don't think Russ is ever going to be an answer, and I don't think Justin Fields is ever going to figure it out.
I think if they go to Russ, they will go back to Fields at some point this year. I almost guarantee it.
I do, for a different reason. I'm in the same vein, in that Russ will probably get hurt. The wheels are just falling off.
He's old and he's small.
Yeah.
And that's, you age a lot faster when you're little.
Oh, I mean, look at what happened to Flutie and Breeze down the stretch, man. Like, those guys who were smaller, they fall off. I mean, you can't rely on, I can put a little bit of weight on. I can protect myself a little bit. Like, you have to have something.
Fair.
And those guys just, when you're diminutive, and Russ is tiny, the one thing I will say that Russ does have going for him is that he is a thick.
Yeah,
and it's like
with two C's.
Yes, and as contrary as that is to probably think about, it is helpful. It does protect you. But how many different hamstring injuries has he had now?
He's had a couple. I really think the biggest injury for his career is the finger injury.
Yeah.
And it sounds like dumb, like fingers going to affect you, but it's a finger on the quarterback's throwing hand, and now he can't throw the ball the way that he's wanted to. Ever since that injury, 3-4 years ago. His deep ball's been gone. Yeah. So teams haven't really been fearful of that. And as you get older, you lose a little bit of arm strength. You lose a little bit of accuracy.
Unless you're Aaron Rodgers.
You're not able to move. Even he's losing it.
I know. But I mean,
you know what I mean?
The Hail Marys.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Somehow, someway, he still finds a way to uncork it 60 yards and put it on a plate.
I also wonder to a little bit of how much of this is Russ's camp just beating down the doors of the front office of the Steelers. Like, it's been pretty clear every stop that Russ has had, at least since the last, what, 4 or 5 years that he was in Seattle, his camp has started making calls that most other players, let alone, you know, players at the age that he's at, get to make. I mean, dude, he had his own office in Denver. I mean, that's insane.
I mean, that's the thing is, I think that the organizational structure of the Broncos was pretty poor compared to, particularly when you talk about the new ownership group and the front office and the changeovers and everything that they ceded to Russ when they brought him in. That's not the case in Pittsburgh. Everybody right. knows who rules that organization. You know, you may talk about ownership and how long the family's been in power and blah, blah, blah. Mike Tomlin runs that organization with an iron fist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, and there's no gonna, there's not gonna be Russ's Mr. Unlimited. You know, that's not happening. I mean,
yeah.
Antonio Brown is still, to this day, one of the most talented wide receivers of all time. And even, mm-hmm. even, and this is before he was becoming seriously problematic. He was mildly problematic
right.
with the Steelers. And regardless of his talent, they said, no, we're good. So, and Russ is nowhere near
that
level of talent.
Right.
And so they just won't even, Russ, I think, has had to be on his P's and Q's. And
yeah.
Because if he doesn't, they'll hit him with the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
It's probably his last shot.
Yeah.
And so, but I also get like, hey, you got to take a look at him. He's been hurt. Can he return back to Seattle, Russell Wilson? Because if he can, he's actually the perfect quarterback. The thing about it is, I don't think that he has Seattle Russell Wilson back in him. And you're going to have to move. I like where the O-line is headed in Pittsburgh. I love that they have Sam Alu there. Mm-hmm. And so he's able to teach the young guys. But it's still a young offensive line. And so they're going to make mistakes. And when they make those mistakes, it's nicer to have a mobile quarterback who can move, and I don't think that Russ can move the way that he used to. He's not going to wiggle out of sacks like he did back in 2011, right? He's not going to wiggle out of sacks like he did back in 2014, 2015. He is an older, more immobile quarterback now, and he's small. So he's going to take hits and hits and hits, and I just think that Justin Fields fills that role better right now.
It's going to be interesting to see what the Steelers end up doing with this. It's so rare, it's so unique that a team that is 4-2 and really just kind of plugging along and doing what they do,
yeah,
they found a way to make this season weird.
Yes, they did.
Speaking of making the season weird, Russell Wilson's former team, the Denver Broncos, I don't really know what to make of this Broncos team and their current iteration and just the injuries that are piling up, but this game might be the worst nationally televised game we see this season. I'm pretty certain. Broncos Saints is have the Browns played their Thursday night game yet?
No, but they will. And that game
okay,
will
that
suck.
That'll be the worst. This will be right there alongside it because the injuries are piling up. But we'll dive into that game and more. But first, here's the Big Kahuna with Sports Center update. We'll get to our picks here at 2 o'clock Thursday afternoon. Man, I'm gonna text Dusty and make sure we get his picks.
He got him in.
Did he get him in?
Yeah, they're on the dock.
Okay, good. I didn't get a chance.
Texted him earlier.
Excellent. Thank you. Look,
is he on the plane right now?
I would imagine.
I'm not sure.
And say I don't know when they leave. Like I don't know. I only got to fly chartered once, so I'm not even an expert. He'd know more than I do. There's so many good snacks on chartered planes.
I know shortly after I texted him, he hopped on on the dock and got it taken care of. So I think at that point he wasn't on the plane yet.
I
anyway,
mean, they could have been. He'd be getting the in-flight Wi-Fi.
Oh, there we go. Very point.
Yeah, oh, for sure. The Ducks aren't flying without in-flight Wi-Fi.
I'm going to imagine not.
It's not Central Washington Wildcats. You're not flying Southwest.
Yeah. I mean, it's chartered life. They aren't flying on the swoosh, but they're flying chartered.
They're flying all right. I'll tell you what. There's nothing rougher than hopping on a Southwest flight when they tell you, hey, this thing's going to be full. And you're with a bunch of 300-pound O&D linemen. Not fun.
Is that what they threw you guys on?
That's what we could afford, man. When you're making 4 or 5 flights a year and you're a D2 team, ain't a lot of money going around.
No, I get it. It's just, that's tough.
Nothing worse than when you and your big old O-lineman buddy sit one in the window, one in the aisle, and just like hope, pray, no one's going to sit in the middle, no one's going to want to get in between us. There's one seat left, and at the very last minute, another big guy, but a normal guy, walks onto the flight, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to sit with you guys. I want to talk ball. It's like, you suck.
Yeah, that's tough. This is going to be a tough watch tonight between the Broncos and Saints. You have a pile of injuries for the Denver Broncos. They probably have a massive injury. Even they're going to get Mike McGlinchey back. He's supposed to be reactivated from the injury report. Their offensive tackle. I believe I saw one of the NFL newsbreakers said Baron Browning was also perhaps going to be activated as well.
Sertan's out.
And Sertan is just, he is such an unbelievably good corner. And because the Broncos, and let's be honest, the AFC West outside of the Chiefs are so bad, nobody really notices and or cares. So he probably doesn't get the shine that he should. I honestly think it's between him and Sauce. They're probably the two best corners, I think, in the league right now.
He's been really good. The one thing that I've noticed, not that I've watched a ton of Denver Broncos games this year, but I did watch the full Seahawk game, and I've seen a couple others through the NFL Red Zone. He's had games where, like against DK, DK only had like two catches for 20 yards or whatever it was, but he also had two or three defensive PIs, and they were all on DK.
I mean, he's super aggressive.
100%, which is fine, and it's clear that he's like locking guys down, but I do think that it's important to throw that in as well, because, I mean, essentially, if he gave up 20 receiving, but he has three DPIs, he gave up 65 yards to DK, but three of them are penalties, and usually they came at a big moment in that game. So as good as he has been, I still think that sometimes he gets overinflated where you don't look at the full picture.
That's fair. Those are the three core injuries, I think, for the Broncos. With two of those, obviously, McGlinchey and Sertan being pretty big. If McGlinchey can go, that's a big help. The Saints, however, oh, sweet dear Jesus, they are a MASH unit. Pete Werner, Cesar Reese, so linebacker, center, Derek Carr, probably not going to go. Rashid Shaheed is out. Taysom Hill, I think they updated him to out. Chris Olave, out. Will Harris is on IR. It is positions of impact.
Yes, it is.
And a team that started the season with so much promise, back-to-back games, just going absolutely bonkers offensively. Their ability to find anything is going to be severely hampered and severely challenged.
They still have Kamara. I mean, you got a shot there. Just get the ball out of Spencer Rattler's hands quick and early and get it into Kamara's hands. But no,
the ball can leave his hands quick and early. It just may not end up in Kamara's. It might just end up in somebody else's hands.
That is fair. But I will tell you what, Bo Nix has had moments this year where he looks really, really good, and then he's had moments where he's looked rough and he looks like a rookie quarterback. I think that the last game against the Chargers was the perfect encapsulation of what Bo Nix has been this year, where in the first half, you see him make some mistakes. He's not pushing the ball down the field as well as he needs to. A little bit, too, his offensive line, they're not helping him out, so he's running around for his life. And then in the second half, you see him start to help get drives going down. He's making great throws to Troy Franklin, and they're connecting. They're getting touchdowns. I believe last week they had the first ever all Ducks touchdown. You had Forsythe snapping.
Mm.
You had Nix throwing and Troy Franklin catching. So everyone who touched the ball was a ducky. So good for them. But I think that there's a chance that this game turns into a chaotic, fun NFL cosplaying game as a action game. You have rookie quarterbacks. You have a bunch of injuries now with Denver, some on the offensive side, some on the defensive side. In New Orleans, most of your injuries are on your offensive side. So now you got a bunch of practice squad guys going after it.
It seemed to work out pretty well for the Bills the other night, bringing their elevated practice squad running back and having him give them their best running back production probably of the season.
Right. And now I'm not claiming that this game is going to be awesome. I'm not going to sit up here and be like, it's going to be great. But sometimes it's fun to turn on Toledo versus Buffalo on a Wednesday night.
But see, that's
and
for
crazy
college,
things happen.
Not NFL.
But crazier things have happened. You were saying like this is the worst primetime game this year. Now, I know the London games aren't primetime. I'd make the argument it's not even the worst nationally televised game this week. You've got New England taking on Jacksonville. I think they've already quit on the year.
I think you're right.
The only reason that you're watching this game is like, is Drake May going to be good?
That and
Trevor Lawrence
cooked?
Trevor Lawrence, I think, might be cooked.
Which, boy, that's a tough one to swallow.
That quarterback draft class looks worse and worse every single
hour. It's not even every day.
I don't even think you need to say quarterback draft class. I think you just say draft class.
It's a rough one, man.
It's just...
What's your best guy out of there? Micah Parsons? That's that draft class, right?
Yeah, 21, right?
Yeah.
Squirrel moment. Who looks more like the Easter Island heads? Trevor Lawrence or Joey Bosa?
Bosa.
Yeah. Bosa, but that's a pretty good one. I miss the old TikTok videos when the one girl would cosplay as Trevor Lawrence. Those ones always cracked me up, too.
I mean, your first four picks, Lawrence, Wilson, Lance, Pitts. Now, it gets crazy good after that. It's Chase, Waddle, Sewell, Horn, Sertan, Smith.
Right.
But, I mean, like, that first four of that draft, you're just like...
It's rough.
Pitts had a great rookie year.
Rough.
And then... It just been, you know, maybe he's not that guy.
Right.
It's kind of funny. You take a look at the groupings. You get that group, not good. Then you get the Chase, Waddle, Sewell, Horn, Sertan, Smith group. And you're like, yeah. And then Fields, like, oh, God. Then Micah Parsons, Rashawn Slater, Elijah Vera Tucker. You're like, all right.
Pretty good. Vera Tucker's the worst one out of there, and he's an average player.
He'd be better if he could just stay healthy.
That would be
that
true.
That was the thing for him. Then it's Mac Jones, Zaven Collins, Alex Leatherwood.
Oof. Leatherwood they knew it was a bad pick the minute it got taken.
Yeah, I mean,
that was
a rough
seeing
one. That one and going, I'm sorry, what?
Like, why? Yo, you mean the guy who's supposed to be in the second round? But I'm just saying, yeah. Like, I think that there are redemptive qualities for this Thursday night game because I think that there can be chaos.
You're looking for the redemption in the crap, though.
Yeah. But
this is like
glass half full, man.
I don't think it's glass half. I mean, it's glass half full of crap.
Glass quarter full.
Like you're basically taking that nasty sand at the beach that's like not really sand, and you're sifting through it, and you're like, oh, a quarter. Like that's
no. You know what I'm doing? I've got the rain. I've got Rainier beer in. It's I'm over here. You're upset because it's not pub beer. Pub beer is delicious, and you're upset because sure. I've got a glass half full of Rainier, and I'm looking at it like I would prefer to have pub beer.
Sure.
But I'm going to be okay
Look,
with this
Rainier. I know the NFL is keen and set on, like, everybody's got to play a Thursday night game because of scheduling and making sure it's fair for everyone, and some teams have two.
Mm-hmm.
But also, can we, like, when they looked at that on the matchup, there's no way they were like, yeah, that's going to be a good game.
No, but you know what? It's intriguing?
That's redemptive.
It's Sean Payton versus New Orleans. And people will tune in, and you'll go on Twitter today, and
there
will
be a bunch
of... Is
Sean Payton going to go on there and throw?
No, but there will be a bunch of memes of Kevin James dressed up as Sean Payton, and it'll be funny. That's what it is.
If that's the redemptive part of the game, you're selling the point for me that this game sucks.
But it could be chaotically fun. All football is fun.
That's not true.
Aside from the Sun Bowl where it was Oregon State and Pitt, my eyeballs did bleed after that. That was a bad one.
Bad football exists.
Yeah, but you know what? When it's the middle of June, you're going to be like, man, I really wish I could watch that Denver Broncos, Saints Thursday
That's the thing,
night
like,
game.
When you get one of these, like,
it'll be fine.
When you get one of these, like, Steelers,
it's football,
Panthers games, like, you're just like, it ends up being 9-3. And not in like, oh my God, these defenses are so good. It's like, no, both these teams are so inept or so injured. No, you get that last week of the season or second to last week of the game of the season where it's a 1-15 team against a 2-14 team. And you're like, nobody has anything to play for. And you're like, oh. And then you don't even get to, like, the, hey, let's let the young guys go out there and play because the vets are out there trying to get bonuses.
Well, they're trying to make sure they get a contract next year.
And it just devolves into the most selfish, disgusting pile of goo you've ever seen.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's a chance that the Jets-Steelers game on Sunday night could turn into that as well.
You're not wrong.
I mean, it's not like the offense has looked amazing. And if they do make the move to Russ in Pittsburgh... How great is that? Look, sometimes you have a whiff. Not every time you go up and you hit a home run for a Thursday night or a Sunday night game. Would you say that last week, the Seahawks 49ers game, like, really blew your hair back?
The game sucked.
It was fine.
It sucked.
It was close-ish at the end. There was some care. There was some intrigue. But that's kind of what Thursday night is.
Yeah.
Are you gonna do
half in, half out?
Well, you can't have Cincinnati versus Kansas City on a Thursday night.
Why not?
Because then if one team loses, they're going to cry about it because it's not fair because you didn't give them that matchup.
What do you mean?
Sorry, you didn't give them the full week to prepare.
No.
Okay. They're not going to do that. Okay. They might do it for a Monday night game.
They're both playing at the same, you know, at the same time.
They're both playing on short prep.
Yeah, the fan base will complain.
Honestly, that's when those games should be played.
Not on Thursday.
No.
Sunday night.
No. If you're going to short prep good teams, make them play each other. That's always been my thing on Thursday night. If you're going to have the short week, and they're eventually going to go Friday night too. We know it's going to happen.
Unfortunately,
that they're going to head down that path. They're not going to let that look. Friday's for high school. I'm with Dusty on this, but we know where this is headed.
Right.
But my thought process has always been, instead of like putting, if you're going to make everybody play, do primetime Thursday night, make it be a primetime thing. Or if you move to Friday, make that be a primetime thing and make Thursday the suck fest.
What they should do in a perfect world is Thursdays are after the bye.
I mean, yes, but
that's the perfect world.
I don't think that
because then you don't have the short week
allows that to actually take place.
I don't believe that the schedule is real. I feel like you can find a way to do that.
What's crazy really is they used to do that all by hand.
Yeah, that blows my mind.
That's like the NBA one's nuts. There was a guy that did it for like 20 years.
It's like accountants that are able to take like accounting on like a full big business. Mm-hmm. Like you used to do that with like an abacus.
Yeah.
Like how does that happen?
We call him Rain Man.
Yeah. Someone who's never been in the room with calculus. It blows my mind every time.
Or Sean Kemp.
I don't get that reference.
The Rain Man.
Oh, see, I was like, Dustin Hoffman was Rain Man.
Killing me.
And then Tom Sean Cruise.
Kemp, Sean Kemp, an excellent driver?
Probably.
Hasn't he had car wrecks?
No, he got caught in a drive-by.
Last
year?
Oh, shit, that's
was
right.
Him.
Yeah. They drove by on him, and I think he fired back, I think is what ended up happening.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that was in, like, Tacoma.
Yeah. Which, you know, it has its own. Look, total squirrel moment. I think it was in Tacoma. There's a neighborhood up there where a Army Ranger moved into it and ended up fighting off an entire gang. Had, like, a full-on shootout. They told him they were going to kill him, and he called over some other buddies, and they went BYOB, but it was BYOG.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
And they barricaded the house and like tactically took down gang members. It's a documentary.
I'm going to have to check that out.
I'll pull it up.
That's a crazy story.
It's insane.
I'm also going to say this, and it might be controversial. Mm. Might not be. If someone is going to try and kill me for living in a neighborhood, I think I just move.
Hey, man. Some people like the freedoms.
I'm free to move somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I'll move. You know what? That's one I might loot. Like, if someone came up to me and was like, hey, give me your wallet, I'd be like, yeah, all right, have it.
Some people also are free to volunteer as tribute.
That is also fair, too.
Want to pick that fight with a group of Army Rangers?
That would not be the crew that I would go against. I would go against Steve, who's, like, really excited for his CrossFit class on Saturday.
Yeah.
If I'm going to try and force someone out of their house, you know what? It's not going to be Dale, the big Army Ranger.
No.
I'm going to go after
Steve. The guy with truck nuts and like multiple rifle cases in the back of the window. That's not the guy.
I'm going after Steve and his Toyota Prius. Yeah,
100%.
He's really excited about his Saturday morning CrossFit session.
Hey, speaking of Toyota Prius, former Oregon Duck, Serena Inescu, had a hell of a night last night. We'll get the sound and the sights coming from the WNBA Finals. We'll get you here coming up next here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
8 seconds remaining in the fourth quarter of game 3. 4 seconds. Ionescu will heave. And hit! And hit! Sabrina Ionescu with the biggest shot in Liberty history.
The New York Liberty take a step forward in evening up the series, winning last night. Actually, excuse me. 2-1 now. New York series lead. On a game winner in the final seconds, Sabrina Ionescu with the step back to her left, pull up three, cashes out 13 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. for what has been an incredibly entertaining WNBA final so far. The Liberty and the Lynx, I believe, are the two most they have become the Celtics and Lakers of the NBA finals. They are teams that are consistently in and around the finals regularly, existing for a long time matters. But this is it's not often you get. We talk about game winners. And what make them special is, number one, the rarity of their occurrence, but the magnitude.
Right.
Jordan's push-off on Russell isn't just great because it's a great shot. It's because it's in the NBA Finals.
Right.
Dame's point .9 is great because of what it is in the playoffs. Dame waving goodbye to the Thunder is because he snatched their soul and sent them home. Mm-hmm. There's so few game-winning shots in the playoffs. Like, clock goes down, bang, you know? Right. And Sabrina got to have one of those moments. And it's pretty cool, you know, having somebody local, or at least University of Oregon, if not high school player, get to have one of those moments, because the story of Sabrina's career is she got robbed because of COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, she would have had, and that Oregon team was legit. They would have had a really
good
shot.
They were a Final Four team.
Winning
sure.
a title.
Yeah. 100%.
And it was all built around what she could do, because mm-hmm. she's so gifted all around. Like, you have a lot of players that can score. You have a lot of players that can get assists, but it's few that can score and get assists at the same time while not being like a ball hog.
No, I mean, her and Clark are constant triple-double threats.
Yeah.
They are incredibly talented. They have range well beyond the three-point line. They mm-hmm. can create for their teams. They can toggle on and off ball. They actually both rebound. The WNBA is, you know, there's a reason why Portland's getting a team. Like, it's growing, and you yep. can be mad about it, and you can be on the text line and be like, I don't care. People care, man, and that's the thing. It's cool to see somebody local have that moment. And Sabrina, she kept a little bit of fire going into the post game. This is what you do after you hit a game winner. You go into the post game, you get a little fiery.
Yeah, Sabrina post game.
I trust in my preparation. I'm built for this moment. I missed one that could have sealed the game, and I just got an open look, and I trusted that I can make it. My teammates got me open, and God, it feels good to get a win.
I mean, she, that's a different clip than I thought it was. She also said in the post game that she, you know, pretty good for a second team all WNBA.
I personally thought that only a second team WNBA player could make that right. shot. Like, there's no first team player that could make
I
it.
I love the saltiness of that. That's like, you know,
she's grumpy, man.
No, there's been some infighting. There's been some between Breanna Stewart of the New York Liberty and Aja Wilson, who was the runaway MVP, and you know, there's some chirping back and forth. And like, this is the kind of world I'm here for.
But that's why people care about the game more now.
Yeah,
you know,
because there's some stakes, there's some skin in the
there's
game.
There's some fire. There should be trash talking yes. in sports. I hate when people do the whole like act like you've been there before, don't throw shots
or
at
be
other
a professional.
People.
It's like,
no, man.
Being a professional is being a little chirpy.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah,
and trash talk has been happening since the beginning of time.
We laud the Larry Birds of the world for who's coming in second, and then
right.
say be a professional. It's like, no, you don't get to have it both ways.
No.
Speaking of basketball trash talk, saw Tumani Kamara last night with the Portland Trailblazers taking on Ratio Farm doesn't count in the record books in the old preseason, but Tumani chirping a little bit, maybe his play might push him into the starting lineup. We'll talk about that game and the Portland Trailblazers and what they have coming up here next on Danny and Dusty in hour number two.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.